Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. Looking ahead to the Titans and the Texans. And to help us do that, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Teron Davenport, presented by Bart Durham Injury Law. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. TD, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're doing awesome. We're sitting here screaming at each other at a break because we're dissecting every syllable and frame of the L'Jarius Sneed supposed trash talk earlier this week on Nico Collins. Where do you come down on this? Was L'Jarius Sneed talking trash to Nico Collins when he said, "Who? Who's that?"
Yeah, I think it was some trash talk because, you know, he's a competitor.
Well,
and
don't say it because Rex Road thinks it's the dumbest take ever.
I don't think he was talking trash on purpose.
No, he was talking trash.
Okay.
And I think I wouldn't have done it, but it's just something, you know, sometimes these guys, this is what they do to get themselves hyped up, you know. And I think, you know, when you look at Tony Oden, he spoke yesterday. That's the assistant DB coach who works exclusively with the corners. And he said that, you know, as a group, they respect Nico Collins. They know who he is. He's a good player. And it was just one of those things that's a part of the mindset that they have, where the guys who have the opposing jerseys on, they're nameless faces. And so it was along those lines. At least that's what Tony Oden said.
Yeah, I mean, you know, apart from this situation, TD, these guys talking numbers, right? You've been covering the NFL for a long time. Most interviews with guys, unless you're talking about a significant player, it's like, yeah, 12 this, 83 does this, et cetera, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I watch – if that's Sneed talking trash on purpose, he sucks at talking trash. It was like this little who and, like, confused look. But, hey, man, you were there, so that's fine. We'll say it's trash talk. What can the Titans do to win this game?
Man, it's a question that you guys ask every week, and we try to figure out what to say. I guess in this case, I think they need to run the football. You look at the pass rushers, Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson Jr., those guys coming off the edge, they're going to cause problems. So really what you got to do, you got to run at them, and then you also – have to have the quick passing game in order. And Cam Ward has to be able to work through the progressions quickly, which is something he said that he's been working to do better. And I think that's really the bottom line. And you look at defensively, more or less, it's just you got to take advantage of that offensive line. They have issues up front, and C.J. Stroud has struggled because of that. And it's really take away Nico Collins. And that's really what it's going to come down to, and make them find other people to step up in the passing game, and we'll see what happens.
So, TD, you mentioned running the ball there. It's obviously a very small sample size to this point. Pollard is averaging 3.6 yards a carry through the first three games. Doesn't look like they're getting a whole lot out of their running game right now. I think his long on the year so far is 11. How concerning is that? How much of that is to do with J.C. Latham not being on the field, in your mind?
I think last week, you know, it was a big deal, Latham not being out there, and also Zeitler, too.
Yep.
You got to remember, that whole right side was, you know, not guys that you normally have out there. So that was an issue. I think it has a lot to do with that. But it just, I mean, that offense, they can't find any rhythm whatsoever. So it's going to struggle all throughout.
So, TD, the young receivers, obviously there's some promise with Io Manor. DK has a lot of explosiveness. Do you feel like, you know, DK can be a little bit more involved in this offense, or is he still going to just be sort of like the occasional, you know, gadget guy, you know, moving forward?
I think he's going to be kind of a blend of those, but I'm still waiting to see where they work that play action and they boot Ward to one side, and they have him run that deep over route, which is something that he did so well at Florida from the slot position. That's what I want to see them do, but they haven't really been able to do that yet. And obviously, you know, play action is only going to work once you kind of make it established that, you know, you can run the ball effectively, which they haven't. So It's a mix of things. Right now, you know, you look at the trick plays and stuff that they've been using to take advantage of the speed. It hasn't really, really popped, so they got to find another way.
So, TD, the Titans have been a circus to this point, as you well know, and it has resulted in Beau Hardigree now the play caller for the Tennessee Titans. So as he steps into the play calling role on Sunday in Houston, what intrigues you the most about that? What are you maybe looking to see them do more, that they haven't done enough to this point? How do you come down on the Beau Hardigree part of this?
Yeah, I want to see the rhythm. I want to see how they get into the flow of the game and just have the offense kind of match up, like marry the run game and the passing game and layer plays to where, you know, you're doing something to see how the defense reacts, and you see how they react and you take advantage of that. I think that's something that's been lacking for the most part. So if they could find a way to do that, they could be effective. I mean, they have good players. I mean, it's not like they're void of weapons. Iron Manor is legit. Ridley, you know, as he works through his things, he's eventually going to pop back out, and you know, next week they'll have Spears, so that's going to be good. So we'll see what happens.
So with Callahan passing this off, TD, obviously it seems like, you know, game operation is a huge thing that has been lacking. So okay, you hope that would improve, that he wouldn't make these big gaffes in a game. Is there anything else where now that he doesn't do this that he will add on, or that can help benefit this team because he has turned this, or because he's been forced to turn this over to Hardigree?
Yeah. And I actually wrote about this. It posted this morning, because one of the things that Denard Wilson was talking about was, you know, Brian Callahan being in the meetings, you know, some of the defensive meetings, and them talking as well, and him telling Denard, like, hey, you know, offensively, this is the way a team will probably attack what you're doing. So that's a benefit just from a preparation standpoint. We'll see on the field. But I think for the most part, it just is allowing him to take a step back. He delegated, you know, the play calling duties to someone that he's confident in. And I think you look at the last time Beau Hardigree was in this situation, you saw the Raiders, their points per game, you know, it increased to 22 points from 15. So you're talking about a whole touchdown, you know, and that was with Aiden Hutchinson as the quarterback, and they dropped 63 on the Chargers in 2023. So I think, you know, he's taking a step back just to kind of better oversee things. I'm curious how that process is going to be, that the relay of information right before the call is given to Ward, because already with just Callahan calling the plays, you know, the plays are getting in there a little bit later, and he's trying to get to the line of scrimmage with some time to orchestrate some things and make some checks, and it's been tough. There are times where it's gotten in too late and they weren't able to do it.
So, TD, we've all heard of the, you know, unstoppable force versus the immovable object. I like to term it this week the stoppable force of the Texans' offensive line versus the movable object of the Titans' pass rush. Who does this matchup benefit here?
I kind of, you know, I'm gonna yield to the Titans just because of Jeffrey Simmons, and he's quietly playing like really, really good football.
He is.
The sacks aren't coming. I mean, this team is, you know, they're second to last, I think, like two sacks or something crazy like that. But, yeah, I'll go with the Titans D-line.
Speaking of Simmons, TD, you know, obviously you get the Brownlee move this week, which is separate from, you know, the trading deadline. But it's a few weeks away. If things continue on this path, you know, we're going to be talking about some of these guys, some of these veterans possibly being moved out of here. And we've talked about Simmons before. Do you think that is, I mean, like you said, he's playing really well. He got in better shape this year. He has more good football ahead of him, but you could get something significant for him. Do you think that's seriously on the table potentially if things keep going the way they're going? And if so, what do you think that a Simmons could bring back?
Yeah, I'd say probably a second, but I wouldn't say anything is off the table. Honestly, I don't know of anything brewing in the background. Obviously, he's not happy with the losing, but he's not at a point where he would want to leave. He's not going to lobby for it or anything like that. But, I mean, who knows? Like, what if Dallas, you know, comes and because, you know, Jeff, he stays in Dallas during the offseason. What if Dallas comes calling? And, you know, Jerry Jones has been known to make some decisions that don't always jive with where everyone else is. So maybe he offers a first, and then I'm sure Borgonzi and the crew, they got to consider it. But to me, it's just, if you get a first-round pick, like, and you draft a guy in the first round, you want him to develop into what? A Jeffrey Simmons-level player. So I don't know. I guess it's something that we'll see. Jake and I, yesterday on the show, we did a projection of who would be, who we thought would be on the team in 2027. And, yeah, Simmons wasn't a guy that either of us came up with. So maybe that will facilitate that, you know, comment that we made becoming true.
So, TD, we got Derek Stingley Jr. dealing with an injury this week. We know the struggles of Calvin Ridley to this point in the season. How big a week is this for him in terms of a response of putting whatever your best is out there? And if he struggles again and he's not a factor, a positive factor in this game for the Titans and their offense, what does that tell you about where he is and where this thing may be headed?
Yeah, it's a week where he has to turn things around. There's no other way to put it. And you remember what happened last year. You know, he found an opportunity to make things happen in that Detroit game. And there's a saying, right? The only thing that follows hard work is success. And he's been working really hard and trying some different things, you know, catching the tennis balls off the lobster machine. And I don't know if you guys saw the glasses that I pulled.
Oh, yeah.
That's comical. Like, remember the Titans type of stuff. But, you know, it is what it is. You do what you got to do. I have seen him on the jugs machine catching footballs and stuff. And it's just a concentration thing. And that's where he's struggling. We talked a little bit about that. And he said he does just have to lock in. And that's really what it boils down to.
Well, TD, great stuff, man. Looking forward to the game coming up this weekend. Have fun down there in Houston. And we will talk to you next week.
All right. Appreciate it. Go Met.
There we go. There we go. Teron Davenport, presented by Bart Durham Injury Law. We'll react to what TD had to say. Your thoughts on the Titans and Texans. We got Pigskin Pick'em coming up at 8:30 here on the program. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Tomorrow's college football game of the week. Oregon taking on Penn State at 6:30 on 94.9 The Fan. Presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants and Circa Sportsbook Kentucky. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. This Sunday, NFL Game of the Week on 94.9 The Fan. Packers taking on the Cowboys at 7:20 on Sunday. NFL Game of the Week presented by Circa Sportsbook Kentucky and Macero in 12 South. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Rowe. Appreciate TD for being with us in the last segment. Houston taking on the Tennessee Titans. A battle of the Beatons. Zero wins involved in this matchup coming up on Sunday. Joe, I'm going to ask you the same thing I just asked TD. Ridley's been awful so far this year. He has not played well. He can't catch football right now. He had what we thought was a great connection with Cam Ward heading into the year after training camp, and it has not gone well for him to this point. Derek Stingley Jr. may not be playing in this game, which, by the way, just could be massive for the Titans offense because he's a very, very good player. But let's even take that out of it. Let's say he's playing, he's not playing, whatever it is. How important is this week for a response from Ridley in terms of obviously catching the football when it's thrown your way, but being productive, like being the number one wide receiver for the Tennessee Titans? He has not lived up to that, not even close so far this year. How important is it? And if he doesn't do it, if it's week four in a row of him just being a guy out there, much less all the drops and all that other stuff, what does that mean? What does that tell you about where he's at right now?
Well, I mean, I think he still gets open and has demonstrated being a dangerous weapon at times. He's dropped some passes that you cannot drop. He's had some drops attributed to him that, you know, I might say maybe Cam put a little much on it or whatever. I mean, ultimately, if you're going to be a wide receiver one, you have to come away with most of those. You know, last year, Ridley was was like invisible for, at this point of the year. We're seeing the same stuff, except it was like there was well, there was one game where he had what, like all these targets and no catches.
I think it was like week 4 or 5 against the Colts last year, where he had 8 game. Targets and no catches.
And then eventually, you know, I mean, he started to, you know, he started to come along and make plays. And so, I mean, yeah, it needs to happen soon. I'm guessing Stingley's not playing. Just
doesn't look like it.
And that is, yeah, he might be. I mean, is he the best corner in the league? I mean, it's pretty close.
He's right up there.
He's pretty close. So, and I would.
And by the way, we've already seen him in one matchup this year, talking about Ridley, where it's been him and Sertan, and it did not go well
right.
for Ridley.
Yeah, I mean, the top guys that take on the Titans. I mean, like, if Ridley, when you're traveling with somebody and you're playing man, if Ridley is the toughest, then that's a break compared to a lot of weeks, right? But if you're Ridley and you get a break and don't have to deal with a Stingley, yeah, I mean, that should mean something. That should mean more production. That should mean more opportunities. I mean, to me, it means less man from Houston. So, you know, you should be able to find some holes in the zone coverages and make plays. I mean, it's totally different between Ward and Ridley leading into the year with all the talk of their chemistry, whereas Levis and Ridley was like all the talk of the lack of chemistry, but then it's not paying off on Sunday. So, yeah, if it doesn't happen – And again, to the point of the larger discussion about moving guys, you know, it would be good for the Titans to have Ridley produce and make himself more of a viable chip to possibly move. Although I would still wonder about doing that and doing anything that's going to make life even harder on Cam Ward in the second half of the year.
By the way, on the Titans front, Latham has not practiced this week so far. So it looks like a third straight game that he's going to miss. And I mean, when you factor in the game that he played, he's barely played this year. Like the hip injury is looking, Joe, like it's exactly what we thought and we're scared of, which is something that can linger for a while. And here we are week 4 and doesn't look like he's going to be available again this week, which against this opponent is just not good.
No, very not good. Yeah, it'd be shocking. You know, if he played. So now we're getting into, unless he is able to play next week, and it's like, yeah, you could have gone on IR. I know PK gets, you know, who cares, IR or not. But I'm just saying, you know, usually when you don't do that, that what you're telling your fans, like the expectation is, okay, well, then he will be back within earlier than that window, right? I mean, the thing about IR does is it takes away public expectation of a guy getting healthy, which is like a big, you know, it's like a big thing for Vrabel. Like, that's why he never talked about injuries. Like, then someone doesn't come back a week later and the fans are all mad at him. I get that to a point. So that's part of why you put a guy in IR. Let's take away all the weekly talk about whether he can play or not. So, but the fact that he's not even limited this week at all, it's just, there's just nothing. Yeah, doesn't bode well.
By the way, Zeitler has been limited the last 2 days with the bicep. So,
but at least he's out there. So
at least he's out there, and I guess we'll find out hopefully his status later today out there at Titans practice. Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland to the program. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, man. Hey, I'm just giving – so I picked us to win this week, and I'm actually picking us to win. I'm picking us to win the next 3 games. And I know it sounds crazy as hell.
You're right.
But especially when you take away a huge problem, sometimes it lights a fire. And because if we just had competent head coach, and there's a good chance we're 2-1, or at the very least 1-2 heading into this game. I don't think the next 3 teams are good. I think Arizona's probably the toughest game, but I still don't think they're very good. And then you'd be 3-3 coming back against Vrabel. Plus, I'm still on the Fire Callahan bandwagon like the hardest. I'm leading that charge. But this would screw that up for me, and that's what the Titans usually do, is do something that's not what I want. So they'll probably win the next 3 and then lose the rest of the games, but I'm picking us to win the next 2 games.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate the call.
Wow.
3-0 okay. Coming for the Titans.
I mean, they,
it all starts with 1.
So it's like, as far as I know, Adam is lowest on Brian Callahan of the entire fan base, like actually thinks he's Rich Kotite. So – like that, I guess that speaks well. Adam must like the team really a lot, right?
I guess.
Like he must be like, like higher on the roster than everybody if you think they're going to win three in a row.
I guess.
I hope you're right, Adam.
Can they win one?
Yeah.
I think I'd sign up for one out of the three right now. I'd be like, yeah, give them. Just let's get a win in here some way, somehow.
At this point, I'd be somewhat surprised if that were the case, but maybe I'm too down on them.
I still think the Texans, out of the next three opponents, I still think the Texans, even at 0-3, are the toughest ones. Maybe that's just because I've got some mental image of the Texans of what I think they are versus what they actually are. But I still think the Texans have the pieces to put more together than the other two teams, well, Arizona and Vegas, are about to play.
I just think it's a terrible matchup for Tennessee because the weakness of the Texans, you don't have what it takes to take advantage of it.
Correct.
The weakness of the Texans is their pass protection, and you don't – it will look fine against you unless you pressure. And then the strength of the Texans goes right to your weakness.
Right.
You know, just the pass rush situation, pass protection on both sides, and then not on top of just being in Houston, on top of Stroud. You know, I don't like this. I don't like this matchup at all for the Titans. But who had them winning last year?
Motivational speech coming from Amy before the game.
I don't know. Does she ever do that?
I don't know. But if she was going to, Houston would be the one.
Yeah, I mean, at least I'm confident she'll be at the game. So, I mean, that's a good thing.
It's good to know.
Yeah.
We got Pigskin Pick'em coming up next. Huge weekend in both the NFL and in college football. We got some enormous matchups. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Now, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN, 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is time for Pigskin Pick'em here on 102.5 The Game. A standings update and the competition. Rex Rowe had the best week last week, 3-3 with his lock. I went 3-3, no lock. Ian Safar, after being maybe the greatest participant in this competition of all time, tough week last week, 2-4, no lock.
Finally.
Back down to earth a little bit, which brings the overall standings. Ian Safar, 16-8, 3-1 in his locks, 19 points. Joe Rex Rowe at 11-13 overall, 4-0, perfect, 4-0 on his locks, 15 points. Robbie Stanley, 13-11, 0-4. On the locks, good for 13 points. So we begin with Utah State and Vanderbilt. Coming up tomorrow here in Nashville, Vanderbilt, a 22.5-point favorite against Utah State. Ian, you are in first, so you go first. Who we got between Utah State and Vanderbilt?
This is a tough game. I think I'm actually going to take Utah State to cover the 22.5. Maybe Vandy has covered so far, I believe, every game.
They have.
You know, big game next week versus Alabama. They were ready to play against Georgia State, given they lost last season. I think I'm going to take Utah State to get a late cover, 22.5.
There you go. Going to Utah State plus 22.5. Joe, I think I know where you're going, but Vanderbilt favored by 22.5.
Utah State lock. This will be a one-possession game in the fourth quarter. It is a dangerous game for Vanderbilt. I think they'll win. I think they'll get a score late to get a little bit of separation. But I think 22.5 is crazy. I really do. You know, Vanderbilt's defense has had some terrific stretches this year, and they've had some questionable stretches too. And you're actually including decent chunks of last week if you watch the game. So yeah, I think Utah State's going to make this way less comfortable than people think.
Give me Vanderbilt minus the 22.5. They win by about 24 in this game. The Doors are on a mission. Doors are on
really
a mission.
Good.
I think Clark Lee's got them bought in. I think he's not allowing them to look too far ahead to Alabama. I think Diego Pavia and company, that offense will continue to roll. Give me Vanderbilt, minus the 22.5, taking on Utah State tomorrow. Another game in the SEC, locally. Tennessee taking on Mississippi State on the road. Vols a 7.5-point favorite on the road in Starkville. Joe Rexroad, who we got between the Vols and the Bulldogs?
Yeah, I like the Vols. I think they'll cover this. I think they'll win by about 10 to 14 points, something like that. I think Mississippi State will have some offensive success, score some points, but ultimately I just don't see Mississippi State stopping Tennessee much. So I might even be a little low on 10 to 14, more like 14 to 17.
I will go Tennessee minus the 7.5. I think they win by 17 points. I will go Tennessee, comfortable victory on the road against Mississippi State. Ian Safar, who we got between Tennessee and Mississippi State.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take Tennessee as well. On the road, you know, Mississippi State's had a good season so far, maybe a surprising start to some. But I'll take the Vols to cover the 7.5.
Alabama and Georgia coming up tomorrow. A huge game in college football. A huge game, particularly for Alabama, on the road, taking on the Bulldogs. Georgia, a 2.5-point favorite in this matchup. I'm surprised by that line. I'll go first. Give me Georgia, -2.5 in this. I just think that Gunnar Stockton rose to the occasion. Last time we saw him against Tennessee, I think he played well. I think he'll do it again tomorrow. So give me Georgia, -2.5 against Alabama. Ian Safar, Georgia, Bama.
I think I'm going to go with Georgia. I don't know. I don't feel great about it. You know, the 2.5 and the home streak, at some point it's going to go down. Bama has their number, like we mentioned earlier in the show. But I'll just because they're home, I'll take Georgia by a field goal.
Joe Rexro, Georgia favored by 2.5 at home against Kalen DeBoer and the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Yeah, we're making a clean sweep. I think they're going to win. I hope Alabama is competitive and Alabama has figured some things out. They still have a lot of talent. I like Ty Simpson. I think he's a good QB, but in Athens, I think Georgia wins by 10-ish.
I would advise them to throw the ball to Ryan Williams tomorrow. Worked out well for him last year in that game.
Yes, it did.
We'll see if it happens again tomorrow. The Titans on the road taking on the Houston Texans on Sunday. Houston winless. Titans winless. Houston a 7.5-point favorite. Ian Safar, who we got in this matchup?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a terrible matchup for the Titans, except for the Texans' defensive line. And so that could be a problem. You know, the Titans trying to block them. Their offense has not been great. You know, other than Collins, there's not a whole lot on the outside. If Snead can, you know, play well, maybe that can help slow it down a little bit. Houston's running game is not that great. Mixon's been out the whole season. They don't really... I can't even think of the running back off the top
Chubb
of my
there.
Head. Yeah, Chubb.
And he's actually looking, you know,
some other,
pretty well.
I can't remember the third down guy. So they have been struggling, and for them to be 7.5-point favorites, given how bad they've played, but I'm still going to take the Texans, 7.5. Give me that.
Go with the Texans, -7.5. Joe Rexroad, who we got?
Yeah, I'm kind of regretful that I used my lockup already. Texans are going to kick the crap out of the Titans. I'm sorry. It's just that simple.
Titans are dead to me after last week. I went out on a limb for them. I was confident in them. Picked them to beat the Colts. And how did they reward me? Their coach made moronic decisions before the half, and they got killed in the game. I'm done picking the Tennessee Titans. Give me the Texans, -7.5 in this matchup. I'm not, however, making my lock, although I want to. Not going to do it.
Well, we got a lot of the same picks this week.
We do. All right, the individual portion of the program. Joe Rexroad, your first individual selection.
So, here's another one that I kind of wish I made my lock. But I'm very confident in this pick, and I'm sorry, Indy, Ben, and all you guys. I mean, Colts at Rams, -3.5. I mean, all day. The Colts were bound to come down to earth. The Titans are just not the team to do it, but the Rams are.
Rams -3.5 against the Colts coming up.
I thought
Sunday.
About that one for
yeah,
sure.
I did too. Give me the Green Bay Packers -6.5 against the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday Night Football and make it my lock. I'm nervous about this one because everything on paper and the injury situation and everything for the Cowboys suggests that Green Bay should probably win this game by about 30, which makes me incredibly nervous heading into it. But I think they'll respond. I mean, Micah Parsons is going to be unstoppable in this game. So give me Packers -6.5, locking down against the Cowboys. Ian Safar, your first individual selection.
Okay, I'm going to go to college football for my lock. Penn State, Oregon. Lockdown under 52.5.
Yeah. Wow. Those over-under locks, man, you're not scared away from those yet.
Not yet.
Under. On the
52.5. Penn State at Oregon.
Penn State and Oregon.
Night game.
Coming up.
Okay. Night game. Oregon on the road. White out.
Let's go Dante Moore and Drew Aller. Light it up, baby.
Spin that ball around out there.
Let's go, offenses.
My final individual selection. I'm looking forward to this game a lot coming up this weekend, even though it's probably not in my top five of overall games I want to watch. Give me LSU +1.5 against Ole Miss. It's basically a pick 'em. I think LSU gets the win on the road. So I'll take LSU +1.5 against Ole Miss. Ian Safar, your final individual selection.
Yeah, this one I was a little bit iffy on since it's the Dublin game, but I'll take Minnesota minus the 2.5 against the Steelers.
Going Vikings minus 2.5 over in Ireland against the Steelers. Joe Rexroad, your final individual selection.
Looking at BYU at Colorado, or Colorado, if you're Joel Klatt. He did play quarterback there. Yeah, I've you know, Colorado's at home getting 6.5. I think BYU is going to go in there and put a thumping on them. Colorado's pretty bad. BYU's pretty good. Give me BYU and giving the 6.5 on the road.
BYU minus 6.5 against Colorado on the road. What do we think this is going to mean for Deion if they're pretty bad this year?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people thought he'd be out of there already. I don't know. It's a good question. Then there was when things were going well, it's like, okay, what program is going to steal him away? I mean, he's obviously hung in there. I give him credit for that. I mean, if you're Colorado, again, he's taken you from like arguably the worst Power Four program. Like you were right in there with the top handful of the worst. And he has brought relevance and all this stuff. The recruiting is going okay for them. So, I don't know. Good question. But, yeah, I think making a bowl game this year for Colorado would be fine. Like, that would be a decent outcome given what they have.
Wes in Clarksville says, I think the Titans and Texans will both still be winless after this week. Call shot. They're going to tie.
Oh, that would
That's what we need. Let's get a tie around here.
That would be a very fitting outcome for this game. Unfortunately.
Send that sucker to overtime and let's watch more of it.
Yeah, exactly. We want extra Titans Texans. Yeah, I just really don't think it's going to be competitive. And again, I'm here for the Titans to, to prove me wrong.
No extra juice with the play calling change?
I don't think so.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing. What if they do have a great offensive day, and everything comes together, and they win? Like, is it like, oh, good.
What does that mean for Callahan?
Yeah. It's obviously better for him than to lose.
For sure.
But it's also like, that's
like. The only thing they had to do to look good on offense was just totally remove yourself from the play calling situation.
So the thing that you love most and, is get you away from that. And also your handpicked OC, bypass him. Yeah. So does all the credit go to Bo Hardigree? I mean, Titans would love to find out. And Titans fans would love to find out too. Like, I don't know, but at least there's something beyond or beside just ripping a head coach for missing basic things in a game.
Got a big weekend of football coming up. We'll give our final thoughts on it coming up next. DVD with Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan will be broadcasting live from 3 to 6 at Jimmy Kelly's Steakhouse today as they celebrate the opening of their all-new rooftop dining area and bar. Also a great place to go before and after Vanderbilt games. So make sure you keep that in mind tomorrow as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Got some tickets to give away to the Music City Madness as Tennessee takes on Illinois at Bridgestone Arena. Coming up on Saturday, December the 6th, be caller 3-615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Also, make sure you check out Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday prior to the Monday Night Football game. Head on up there, watch the Jets and the Dolphins,
yay,
and the Bengals and the Broncos. Plus, ask about Circus giveaway for a trip to Las Vegas for the Titans and Raiders game coming up in October as well.
All right, I've done some reporting.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so I realize that my take today, I'm sure Stilly will spend an hour on it, and that's fine. Now, I contend there are two parts of the take. I 100% believe Snead is the guy I talked about, and that guy exists. Okay. That guy exists.
I'm with you there.
Now, it doesn't mean he wasn't talking trash. But I also would say to you, Robbie, that you hit me with a 2 + 2 = 4. This is still subjective, right? Can we agree
this
is subjective?
Yes, that was a little far.
Okay.
I apologize.
That's fine.
That was off the air, though.
No. Yes. But, okay. I mean, that was...
It was mean.
Yeah, you got me pretty good. I threw this out. I threw this out at a bunch of people who cover the Titans. And I just said, do you think he was intentionally talking trash? Gentry, I thought so at the time, but who knows with that guy. Andrew, yes. Nick Suss, maybe not like malicious trash, but I definitely think he knew what he was doing. Like I said with Kaharski, don't really know, seemed like.
Thanks, Bob.
Teresa is ghosting me. And McCormick, Terry McCormick says, I kind of think he was. If he wasn't initially, he then played it off like that when people started laughing. But your point is valid. Jarrell Casey was famously a non-football follower. Look, I still watch the video, and I'm like, I just think he's like, seriously, who? But you know what? You guys may be right. Everybody, TD, said yes. So this is what I expect. I expect Nico Collins to cook him. I know he thinks he was talking trash. We know that. There's no question.
We know that.
I expect him to cook him. I expect Nico Collins to talk trash about it after the game. And I'm very interested to hear what Snead says about it afterward. Now,
if anything, is anybody going to be in the locker room? Is the coach going to show up to the podium quick enough for somebody to find out?
Well, that's true. But I put it to all of you who are going to be in Houston. I mean, it's an obvious thing. Like, you're going to follow up. Because I do. Like, I watch the video, and I watch it differently than you guys, but also not being there is a different deal. So, just saying, I'm fine being cooked on the take. I may be totally wrong, but I really do believe my theory about great athletes who don't like sports. I've lived with it my entire life, and I also believe, like, these guys talk about people in numbers. But
you know what the funniest part about all this is? We got legitimately mad at each other over the dumbest thing ever. It was pretty funny.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I just don't think it's like – even when I first saw
– We were screaming at each other between 7:56 and 8 o'clock. Like, Ian was looking here like, are you guys all right in there? Everything okay?
It would be like those Houston guys who are just sitting there like
– Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Bitch! That's what he did. Just like they finally – I was like, they're just going to throw hands. when Kaharsky put it out there, like, my initial thought was like, really, Kaharsky? I guess I've seen guys say who, you know, but I guess the second one, I guess it seems like maybe he was kind of like, you know,
he's
playing to the crowd. Yeah. So that's the case. Hey, man, well, you deserve what
better
you
go play well
someday. Yeah, better go play well. I mean,
what if he just goes out there and just totally shuts him down?
I've seen
Nico Collins. You're not getting anything done today, baby.
Yeah, that'd be impressive. I've seen, who the heck was it? Was it Parrish Cox? Does anybody remember? Like actually shut down DeAndre Hopkins when Hopkins was like the best receiver in the league. Yeah. It was insane. I was like, how is this? But of course, it was also what's his name at QB. Who the heck?
Was it Osweiler?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh God, what a huge signing for the Texans.
Yeah. Talk about a guy that made himself a lot of money off about. Four games.
A couple okay games. Yeah.
Him and Matt Flynn, baby. Made himself some money.
Yeah, when you play the Lions, you can make yourself a lot of money.
Jared on the YouTube chat, very upset at you that you're not Vandy Joe anymore. You're taking Utah State to cover. Oh, it's a one possession game toward the end of the game.
I mean, I'm taking Vandy to win. But I'm a little bit stunned by that line. I really am. I mean, if you look at what Utah State has done, they're not bad. And I just, you know, maybe Vanderbilt will just go up and down the field on them like they did against Georgia State. I mean, they're going to score a lot of points. I think they're going to win. I think their defense is going to be challenged. And I still, even though they had the great second half against Virginia Tech, you know, and they had the great second half against South Carolina. But again, that is without the quarterback, right? I think there's a little bit possibly of fool's gold with the Vanderbilt defense. And you know, this week we'll see. Obviously, next week I think.
Yeah.
Like next week, if they're going to go win in Tuscaloosa, they're
going to
require
some good defense.
Pavia is going to have. Well, but Pavia is going to have to be like, you got to like put a number on this board.
Yeah.
You know, and so I do think that might be exposed a little bit tomorrow. I'm sorry, Jared.
If Georgia does
not Jared Stillman, Jared Morris.
If Georgia says what, if they do what you think they're going to do, and that is win by 10, thereabouts. What does that mean for Kalen DeBoer in Alabama if it plays out that way?
Well, they're going to be desperate, and they're already pissed at Vanderbilt about last year. But also, like, yeah, the negativity. You know, like losing at Georgia on its face is not the end of the world, but you already are in such a hole. Now it's like you have no more margin for error. We'll get right back to the Kalen DeBoer stuff. I think that's just a better scenario for Vanderbilt, you know, to go in there and have a team that's wobbly a little bit as opposed to a team that's like, okay, we just won at Georgia. We're fine. You know, bad opener, we're fine. The confidence is high, and you carry that on. I think if you're a Vanderbilt fan, sometimes this is not the case. It's the opposite, but I think you should be rooting hard for Georgia.
me tell you one thing we better not be talking about on Monday morning when we come in here, beyond the awfulness of the Titans and the Texans. Better not be talking about Tennessee going on the road and screwing up a road game in Mississippi State. You can't have it. Like, you got to, you know, we'll see later in the year what does Florida look like by the time you get there. I mean, obviously going on the road to Alabama is going to be a challenging environment. They got Arkansas coming in a couple weeks at home. We'll see what that looks like. But, you know, Mississippi State's a good story so far. I think they're clearly improved from year one to year two under Jeff Lebby. It's a game you need to go handle if you're Tennessee and Josh Heupel.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'm pretty confident that they will. You know, like last – like, are there any common threads in these, you know, in these road failures? I think stodgy offense – even like Missouri ran all over them, but I still think
they
their offense, yeah. Eventually the defense buckled because of the offense. I think that's been the thing the last 2 years.
Yes.
Is, you know, they played – they had a terrible defensive night against Florida, not tackling, stuff like that. So, I mean, there are different things that have popped up. But I just think when your offense – they've also had road games in the Heupel era where they've gone out and just destroyed people on the road when they're off in 21 and 22, even in 21. And I think the offense just brings that confidence, you know, even without their corners, plus getting Moy back. I think they're going to be all right.
I'm looking forward to LeJarius Sneed and Nico Collins on Sunday. It's the only thing I care about in this game now.
Who?
I don't care about Cam Ward, nothing else. Give me Sneed and Collins on Sunday.
12 against 38. No names required.
Hope everybody has a great weekend. We'll be back Monday morning at 6 a.m. Next Man Up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.